Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. We were joined by Jeff Shreve, Sky Sports touchline reporter, weren't
yes.
we?
Yes, yeah, he was he's part of a green initiative.
He certainly is part of a green initiative. About that. Martin Kellner joined us with his week of sport on TV. And we looked at some non-sporting telly with Mike Ward, as always.
Yeah.
And also, we strayed into some odd areas, animal-related areas.
Oh, yeah.
We had a bit of a chat. Then we talked a bit of football.
Yeah.
That's just
all
about
good.
It. Here it is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon, Paul. And I've had a look at this FIFA fan poll. I was asked to fill it out. Yeah, I've seen it. It says, would you like to see a World Cup A, every 2 years, B, biannually, or C, every 24 months?
Well,
it's very good.
It's interesting. And they still only got 55% saying they would.
It's ridiculous.
The other 45% were don't knows. Yeah, Rob Harris has been taking a closer look at some of these. I mean, it is obviously a concerted campaign by FIFA to make this happen. Yeah. And, you know, it's going to. We're just going to have to get used to it. We're going to have to win.
No, we've got to fight it.
No, look, this is not, Andy, this isn't the Super League. This isn't fan power. This is FIFA doing what they want. We are...
Well, Cheffrin's
we
not
are
happy
neutered
about it.
And we are powerless.
He got booed on Tuesday night at Stamford Bridge. I thought it was a bit harsh.
Well,
really.
You know, it's like Eddie Hearn gets it. It's like panto villainry, isn't it? Really,
maybe,
people are just booing because they feel
what's
they
the
should.
Point? I couldn't see what people were booing him about. Yeah. Really, I tuned into Bruges PSG just to see what you know how it'd be going for Lionel Messi with Neymar and Mbappe. Honestly, there were people sightseeing around Bruges who were doing more walking than Lionel Messi. He doesn't actually run, does he? He's no Cristiano. I mean, he sort of plays in little bursts, doesn't he? I mean, obviously he's still got the old skills and all that, but...
It's not quite working that yet. I've got a couple of questions for the listeners that they can fill us in on, because I'm sure other listeners are out there thinking, well, yeah, why did that happen? West Ham played last night in a fine win against Dinamo Zagreb.
Yeah, played very well.
Yeah, no sponsors on their shirts.
Yeah.
And I'm interested to know why. I read today that West Ham are actually selling a shirt in the club shop this season with no sponsor.
Must be that one.
It is, but they're slightly different. That's not what I meant. I meant is, how does that... Was last night about, you know, a region where the sponsor doesn't operate, so there was no point? Because if you're spending the money as a sponsor, one of the reasons you spend it is to get the sort of notoriety off the replica shirts, isn't it?
I wonder if you asked people, though, if you did a survey and said, What sponsor is normally on West Ham shirt, or what sponsor is normally on Spurs? Which is, I bet a lot of people wouldn't know.
Oh, no, they wouldn't know. They wouldn't know. That's the, I mean,
I suppose it's subliminal, isn't it?
Let's not say that, though, because all the people who are paying for our new strikers and new centre-halves would think, what's the point of getting on the front of a football shirt? I remember when I was at Chelsea, the company that was sponsoring you at the time said all these... We had a chat with them, and they were saying all these things have a shelf life. In the end, it just becomes wallpaper. You don't even notice it's there, and you
don't take
any notice of the product. But, I'm interested to know why they played without them last night and what fans make of the idea of not having a sponsor on the shirt. There will be some people thinking, well, it doesn't feel like the real shirt because that's not what the guys are wearing at the weekend. They want all the paraphernalia. And the other thing I'd like to know from the listeners this afternoon is how much do you pay when you go to City? I mean, it's interesting Pep has doubled down there and said, I'm not going to apologise to fans groups. I said what I said. Fine, I won't stick the coach in. He's had his say on the crowds. But I'm interested to know about the pricing because... The fans groups are saying, well, it's too, you know, not everybody can afford all these games every week. You know, we haven't all got that money, which is a fair point, which we have to accept. But City not selling like reduced blocks? Are they not doing a 3-game deal? A lot of clubs do that.
Yeah, we were 35 quid for, behind the goal, Matthew Harding upper, and my ticket was 17. because I'm old.
You are old. Okay, well, that's, I mean, even 35 is not ridiculous for Champions League football. Interested here, City fans, do you think, are you being sort of milked a little bit for Champions League games and that's why maybe you haven't got a full house? Or are they doing a sort of deal on all the tickets? So let us know. TalkSport.com, text 81089, tweet TSHNJ. Because that's the first question I asked when I saw that. I thought, well, what are they charging for tickets? Anyway, we'll find out.
I don't know if you saw the discovery of the Vincent van Gogh sketch, you know, drawing. It's amazing.
Is it nice? Yeah, what's it
old? It's an old man with his head in the hand, in his hands.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, in despair. I can reveal it's a sketch of me after another dismal performance from Anthony Taylor.
Oh, yeah. Well, it could be a sketch of any of us, couldn't it? It could be a sketch of me watching it our training grounds like a First World War field hospital.
I was watching last night.
Sound a distant shelling as another stretcher comes in.
I was doing a bit of scouting on Spurs last night.
Well, blimey.
Ndombele, though, was that's encouraging for you. He's got a lovely touch.
The thing is, he's great on the ball, but when he hasn't got
it... He wasn't great for their goal.
Doesn't put a shift in, does he?
No.
I understand that he has a coterie of sort of acolytes around him telling him all the time that he's far too good for Tottenham and he should be at Barcelona, Real Madrid or Bayern Munich. But I think he has to show that, you know. I think he's maybe had his head turned by a few people and maybe should look at some videos of his performances. He is a good player. He's brilliant on the ball and I'm a fan. But, you know, he does have to work on when he hasn't got the ball. But, yeah, we got a lot of injuries. You must have been loving it last night. Well, yeah, as another
well,
one.
I never welcome an injury to an opposition player.
Well, look, as long as it's
only
not...
Only a minor one.
Yeah, well, they are relatively minor. No one left on oxygen, did they?
No.
They're, you know, as they limp off the pitch, you're thinking, well, there's another one that can't
play
right. Sunday.
Well, you look a bit light up front, but we'll see.
Not much.
I think Nuno's going for... I feel it now. He's going for the 0-0.
Chivas and Falco, I understand, are the two we're playing up on... they do a job.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll come back to that in the Falls panel. These are the games we're going to look at this afternoon. We'd like to get you involved in the Falls panel. David Prutton's going to join us, former Leeds midfielder. Sam Matterface representing the commentators. And you could be representing the listeners, who I still believe are top of the league. They're going very well. So if you want to keep them there...
Well, aren't we doing Edwin Wrist?
Oh, we are. We'll do that in a second.
Okay.
Newcastle versus... We'll explain that in a minute, don't worry. Newcastle versus Leeds, that's tonight, of course. We're doing that one. West Ham versus Manchester United. And, Tottenham versus Chelsea on Sunday. So if you want just to have a guess at the scores of those games, call us now. We'll call you back, get you involved. Call it at 3, as always, just for 10 minutes. And the number is 08717 223344. That's 08717 223344. Yeah, we've got clips of the week for you later on. And you're going to hear a couple of clips from Fisherman's Blues. And Nigel was joined by an interesting guest, wasn't he? If only I could remember his name. It will come back to me in a few moments.
The
producer's shouting in my ear, but that's not the name I'm looking for. Oh, wasn't it Mr. Ord Clark?
Barry Ord Clark.
Mm. Yeah, that's right. He is he's an expert in fly tying and an author. And he was, him and Nigel.
It inspired me to look at a YouTube video of fly tying.
Wow.
I got about 5 minutes into it before I fell asleep. It's so boring.
Well, it's not really aimed at you, is it?
No, not really aimed
at you. But see, if Bob and Paul were doing it on Sunday night, you'd probably lap it up.
I would, yeah.
Depends who's doing the fly tying.
I would.
So anyway, let's hear this. They were talking about a fishing-related crime.
Mm.
There was a story a few years ago about somebody jailed. It was like a sort of, you know, one of these, you could almost make a film out of it. It was a heist at a museum or a country house or somebody.
Where they're actually nobody was jailed.
Yeah, they were stealing.
I know everybody that was involved.
Really? In the stealing of those birds for fly tying materials?
Edwin Wrist was the main man.
Was he?
Edwin Wrist was the main.
Maybe Edwin Wrist's lawyers weren't.
Well, Edwin Wrist, I think he got a warning. He got a slap. He got a slap on the, I can't think what the term is. Well, which leads us neatly onto that, because it is Friday and we can bring in games. And so why not come up with some formats for old mate Edwin Wrist? I mean, how do you view Edwin Wrist, Andy? You regard him as a what?
One off.
You do. I know you've always
I've
said
got
that.
Wristwatch, Edwin's Guide to Police Surveillance.
That's very good. Yeah, yeah.
Wristband, Edwin does a kind of talent show to form a group.
Oh, form a super group. That would be good. Yeah, that's, that would be good. Slap on the wrist. I don't know what that would be. Anyway, it's about makeup. It's the history of makeup.
There we are.
We make them up as we go along.
There you go.
So go on then. Edwin Wrist. And Andy's taken it as far as we can in the direction you wanted to go in, so you can forget that.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hawksby and Jacobs here on TalkSport, and we're going to hear a clip in the clips of the week later on, which features not Edwin Rist, it features the man who's talking about Edwin Rist, because Edwin Rist was...
Stop saying Edwin Rist.
Well, that's his name. We thought we'd find some TV formats for Edwin, because he was involved in... He was accused of some skullduggery, but was never jailed, as the clip we played you earlier on pointed out. But you've come up with some TV formats. Casey fancies going down that route. We've got Kieran Bracken involved, you on here, and the ex-England rugby player Kieran Bracken tore the fracture clinics of England in Bracken wrist.
Marvellous.
Says Darren. Would you watch that? Well, I suppose it's no different from 24 Hours in A&E, is it?
I love the fact that the producer said, why don't you tell that one to Kieran? I'm trying to explain the whole thing and then put it
now, Kieran,
to
this,
get a
so
real
it's
blank.
It's Edwin Rist and giving me the 1,000-yard stare. One of the listeners, I've lost it now, he came up with the best one I think we've had so far was Flick of the Wrist, which was like film 2021, like a kind of Barry Norman, Jonathan Ross vehicle where he looks at all the latest films of the week. But I'm sorry, I lost your name, but it was a good one. No wrist for the wicked, says Tony. Convicted criminals are kept awake having to come up with puns of their surname. That's a bit of dark telly, that is. I don't know what channel you get that away on. What else have we got for you? Wrist lock. Fly on the wall documentary following Edwin around in his van, helping out motorists and homeowners who've misplaced their keys. Again, I ask you, Darren, would you watch that? You have to think about that. Anyway, keep them coming. TalkSport.com. Text 81089. Tweet TSHNJ.
Do you remember earlier in the week I said...
Probably better than you do.
That reminds me, we're going to do Don't Ask Me on Monday because I've been here 3 days.
Are we going to bring it back?
Oh, I think we should.
I'd forgotten that, which is not a good sign, is it? But
yeah,
right, I'll remember.
I think that's what we talked about. If we don't want to do it, that's not a problem, really. But we'll give it a go. Earlier in the week, I was telling you about a letter we'd received, you and I, from a sort of red squirrel conservation people. Do you remember it started off by saying, as animal lovers, I know how much you care about Tinsel the turkey.
We do love Tinsel.
Love Tinsel. You'd be interested in the efforts to preserve the red squirrel.
Well, I am. Yeah.
She's been dying out. And I've got news, good news. Four red squirrels have been born at Longleat Safari Park in Wiltshire. 56 years since the last wild sighting in the country. So not only am I delighted, but I thought I'd ask Tinsel what he thought of it. Tinsel? He's pleased.
Well,
he's more than pleased.
Yeah, he's very, very pleased.
He's delighted.
I'm sure he is. The how do they get on, turkeys and squirrels? Are they? I mean, they sort of they get on well. There must be a cute. There must be a cute meme. There must be a cute meme of a turkey caressing a squirrel. Maybe there's not.
Who'd win in a fight?
Are we going down that route? Are we?
Well, I'm just thinking. Really,
between a turkey and a squirrel.
No,
I don't know. Just, well, are they armed, or is it just as Tony Cascarino once said? Will they be armed? I've got no idea.
That's a good point.
Well, we're asked the listeners: turkey v squirrel, who'd win in a fight? It's come to this.
Should we get Spencer Oliver on? He's run out of things to say about Fury and Joshua.
13 minutes past two. It was the moment, really. I mean, you could argue we jumped the shark years ago. I'd say that we got nowhere to go off. Who'd win in a fight between a turkey and a squirrel? Andy wants to know, apparently. I've never known him so interested. TalkSport.com, text 81089. He'll give me something to talk about at the lane on Sunday as the fifth Chelsea goal goes in. Do let us know this afternoon. I had something else for you there, and I can't remember what
I've got a brilliant tabloid thesaurus for you. This is the thing where basically the tabloid newspaper can't say the same word twice, so they come up with a different description of it. This is to do with a gardener who'd grown a record 839 tomatoes on a single stem, which is fairly impressive, actually.
Yeah.
Shattering the world's best. Mm. Douglas Smith Hall doubled the existing record. It took an hour to harvest all the pound coin-sized fruit.
Well done.
That's brilliant.
Same with
it?
The animal kingdom, by the way. This was a story that a penguin as big as a man roamed a now sunken continent 30 million years ago. Fossils in New Zealand have shown. And, I don't often feel this. Certainly with quite dangerous dinosaurs. Yeah. But wouldn't it be great if they existed and they were still among us? And that they were just part of our everyday life.
I mean, I bet I'm not much taller than a penguin, am I?
No, you are.
Am I? Yeah. Oh, I think I'll go and live with them then.
You're not. Andy Jacobs living with penguins. It'd be like one of those ITV.
Penguin basketball with it would Andy be Jacobs.
But just, marvellous. No, just like normally. So you'd like our producer was a penguin. Or Bill, you know, Alex on the decks was like a penguin. We wouldn't think anything of it. And like you go down the news agents, you say, hello, Chris, how are you? Yeah, not so bad, Paul, your usual. You get, you know, cut me. And they get me papers for me, you know, just a packet of sweets. But yeah, you've been, yeah, not so. But it's a penguin. It'd be great, wouldn't it? Penguin as big as a man just going about. Penguin. So you get a ticket. So come on, mate, I was only 30 seconds. It's a penguin dressed as a warden saying, well, it's not my fault, mate. Because obviously they'd speak. I mean, like, maybe it's a bit presumptuous to think that, you know, they'd speak our language. Maybe it'd be like Planet of the Penguins. The boot would be on the other foot. Maybe they're more intelligent.
Well,
than
that's a very, very good point. And the other thing as well
we've
as
we've got a full programme of Premier League football tomorrow, you know, we'll believe it or not. We'll come on to that.
We're going to do all that. The tabloid thesaurus we've just talked about. The other thing that tabloids like to do is headline explained.
Oh, yeah.
And this is a story about...
I know it's a bit of a bugbear of yours.
Yeah, well, it is. It's because basically, if you don't... And there's no point telling people. If they don't get it, they don't get it. This is a story about a young girl who's got a rare condition. It's not too serious, but it affects her hair, and she ends up with a wild mane like Albert Einstein.
Yeah.
That sort of thing. Apparently, he had this. And the headline's E equals MC haired, which is a good headline.
Yeah.
And it says, Einstein, famed for his theory of special relativity, summed up in the equation E equals MC squared. I mean, you didn't know that. Reading that's not going to help you, is it? Oh, I get it now.
You get the laugh after. That's what it is.
And it says that basically it's uncombable hair syndrome. Hasn't Boris Johnson got that?
Can keep it. No, I think that's cultivated, Andy. He could comb it whenever he liked.
Yeah,
but that would mess with the image. If you want to imagine a world where there were man-sized penguins roaming the earth, there'd be some in the Premier League, bound to be,
it's
wouldn't
true.
There?
You are right about Boris, because my wife did a pottery class with one of Boris's ex-wives.
Oh, yeah.
And she said to her, I could do Boris's hair if you like, because it's a bit of a mess. She said, oh, no, he likes it like that. It's deliberate. So,
of course it is. Of course it is, Andy.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Now, I would imagine Jeff Shreves of Sky normally turns up to games in a chauffeur-driven Bentley.
Of course he does.
But possibly a solid gold one.
Yeah.
But not Sunday when Spurs take on Chelsea. He's on his bike.
It's impressive.
Yeah, for good reason. He joins us now. Hi, Jeff.
Afternoon, chaps. How are we?
Yeah,
good, thanks.
We're good, thank you.
Guys, before we start talking about Sunday, I just caught the tail end before the break, where I think you, Paul, said that my job could be done by a penguin.
Well, Let me put that into context, Jeff.
No. It's fine, because anybody that knows me will say my job is done by a penguin. You've clearly never seen me walk. My 10 to 2 feet are famous, but as I always point out to people, so too Stephen Gerrard and Robert Pirès. So I'm in good company.
Penguin wouldn't need a dinner suit for the
Nordoff
Robbins.
He wouldn't need a dinner suit. He could go naked. This was because back in 30 million years ago, Jeff, but before our time, I think, there was penguins as big as men. And I thought it was a shame there weren't still a few around. I think it would be quite a talking point. But anyway, we'll move on.
Evolution saw them through the ice age turn into touchline reporters. So there's a clear Darwinian link there, isn't there?
There is, yeah.
Now, there's a good reason why you're taking to the bike for this game. And what sort of distance does that mean you'll have to cycle?
Well, it's about 20 miles. So I did a training, I did an experimental run recently because I'm up in St Albans, and I went down to Enfield to Whitewebs, where the training ground is. I cycled there and back with a couple of pals. It nearly killed me, so hopefully I'll be in good shape, because I'm going to cycle to the ground tomorrow, and then I'll take my bike and come home on public transport. So we're doing it properly, no cheating. I've stood down the chauffeur-driven Rolls-Royce for the weekend, as you mentioned, and I'll cycle there in entirely sustainable or recyclable clothing, and I've actually got a rucksack, so I'll change at the stadium into my day wear, as it were, shirt and tie, again, all entirely recyclable. or sustainable, do the job, and then get on the train and come home.
Wow, that's good. I mean, it's,
I get home in Chris Eubank's truck, you know, that big thing he's got.
Andy, you're not. You shouldn't do that because it's a special reason why you're doing this around this game, yeah, Jeff, isn't there?
Yeah, as you boys, I'm sure you're already aware. This is a huge initiative. It's part of Sky's overall campaign in terms of net zero carbon. The government's target is 2050. Sky have said they'll get there by 2030. We've chosen this game in partnership with Tottenham Hotspur and Chelsea to be the first ever top-tier game that will be net zero carbon, i.e. every emission that is used or at the weekend will be offset with natural resources elsewhere. So in doing so, we're making sure that everything, every person that's involved, every person who goes to the outside broadcast does in the most environmentally positive way. So we're trying to get that right down as much as possible. But I have to say, I'm sure you've seen the features. Tottenham Stadium, quite rightly, is lauded as being one of the best stadiums. And also, not just for the look of it, but also the acoustics. Daniel Levy and his team have done a remarkable job there. But they had the foresight, and also with the training ground, they have put so much effort into being a club that is responsible. I mean, this year they're already named English Premier League's greenest club, and that ethos is right throughout the club. All the things you would expect, guys, things you would know about, plant-based foods available, no single-use plastic. The players, you know, the players themselves, their shirts are recycled bottles, absolutely everything. And they just want to promote greater environmental responsibility, you know, and reduce the overall impact from the overall climate impact from sport, and use, you know, like we are, using our platform to spread that message. It's important to point out, you know, we're not preaching by any stretch of imagination. I am a million miles personally from being perfect in that sense, but if you're bit by bit and this introduces it as a conversation, then that is helping everybody's goal towards being far more environmentally aware and also getting towards net zero carbon.
That's good. I'm sure quite a lot of people cycle with the game. I'm sure. I mean, I don't, so I'm not aware. I'll go on public transport, so I'm not quite aware where they leave the bikes.
Exactly. They cycle there, but they don't cycle back to the bikes.
There's a facility at Tottenham. There's bike racks there. In fact, Tottenham are close. Hey, here you go. Here's a question for you. How many people do you think normally travel by, so 60,000 at the latest, how many do you think normally travel by car?
By car? Wow. Oh, God. Probably about
private
car. By private car. What, all of the way or just some of the way? Do we know?
I mean, well, who's going to go some of the way?
Okay,
I know what you mean.
But I would often some of the way and then get public transport because you can't park near the ground. I don't know, sort of 15,000.
Well, it was 22,500.
Really?
And Tottenham, and they are now close to their target. Okay, they're now down to their target of no more than 23% of their supporters, which would be 14,000. So they've already significantly reduced it. And that's by spending money on the infrastructure, by the public transport, the station, etc. And it's, you know, simple things like the bike facilities that are available there as well.
They've also put in a parking exclusion zone, Jeff, that stretches for about 30 miles.
Yeah, that's also true.
That is a deterrent. And they do lay on courtesy buses to some of the other stations, free courtesy buses. So, you know, that means people maybe won't use their cars when they would have otherwise. So, no, look, in all seriousness, I mean, I'm sure when they looked at this date as well to do this, often White Hart Lane Station is closed for engineering works on a Sunday. And I just hoped when they announced this guy that they'd check that wasn't the case. But because people have no choice but to drive. But thankfully, I think the trains are running on Sunday.
Look, I think it's one of those things, as I said. We've seen sport and football in particular used in other areas where there are societal problems, and it has been used to highlight those problems. And there's no question, by using the profile of sport to start conversations and to help communicate that message, it works absolutely fantastically. But nobody's trying to pretend by any stretch of the imagination, we're there. We're not there yet. But I went to the training ground the other week and I saw Eric Dyer. Now, he's somebody who speaks about it. And it was really interesting talking to him. And it all came about, it was very simple. He was injured and the training complex is huge. And he wandered into the kitchen garden there, just started chatting with the guys because he was out injured. And he said, yeah, we grow this stuff here and we use it in the canteen and we do this, we do that. And he just became really interested in it. And he is somebody who's spoken a fair bit about it. And he says the same thing. You know, I'm not perfect. If I can do a bit, if I can do something to help, then that becomes the norm as well.
Yeah.
So it's a really, really positive thing.
Well, safe journey on the bike. Make sure you keep the Leica on for the post-match chat.
He knows what he's getting.
And we'll catch
I'll be spending over there, and I must give a shout out to, I know a friend of your shows as well, Gary Lewin, the former Arsenal and England physio. Oh, yeah. I was struggling with it yesterday, but a quick visit to old Magic Hands who threw me around the room like Mick McManus. I'm right as rain.
Cheers, Jeff. All the best.
The older viewers there.
Yeah, wow.
Take care, Jeff. Jeff Shreves there, riding on his bike to the game at the weekend.
Does, we mentioned Nordoff Robbins there. He does such a fantastic job in that.
Yeah.
And he
one of many charities that have been disrupted have a lot of big evenings where they make lots of money and not able to do that at the moment. Let's hope that starts to return to normal next year.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Good afternoon, Paul Hawksby and Andy Jacobs here on TalkSport. Clips of the week to come, but that music, of course, signals the arrival of Martin Kellner, squad number 9, with a week of sport on TV, and he's here in the flesh.
Ahead
of his overnight show you'll be doing here in the studio.
Martin. Indeed, it's an absolute delight to be with you.
Yeah.
I was watching a thing this morning on BT Sport called ESPN FC, which you'll be familiar with, a lot of people.
Seen it, yeah.
Yeah,
so that's a lot of initials.
A lot of initials, isn't it? Don Hutchinson and Stevie Nicol are obviously discussing what's happened in Europe this week. Mm. And it was one of those programmes where still everybody, you know, because they're in Connecticut, everybody was on Zoom or Skype, that sort of thing. So we could play that game of judging the backgrounds.
Hmm.
Now, Sid Lowe was on. Sid Lowe from Spain, of course.
Yep.
About a voluminous bookshelf, unbelievable bookshelf.
Mm-hmm.
And I barely had time to sort of scrutinise all his books. I never heard a word he was saying. I was scrutinising all the books on the shelves because he had a fantastic collection of books about Spain books about sport.
Yeah.
And I was trying to see if my book was...
Sit down and cheer.
yeah, I'm not interested, to be honest. The ego of the man. Yeah, precisely, precisely. So I'm trying to judge if my book was on there. Sadly, I couldn't find it, so I'm going to have to...
Send him a copy.
Yeah, well, I'm basically... No, because I don't get any money these days.
So okay, fair.
Actually, I've had the advance.
A waste of postage.
A total waste of postage. But I was fascinated on Don Hutchinson's shelf.
Yeah.
He has all his international caps. I don't know whether they're all there. I think he got 28 caps for Scotland, but there's certainly a whole pile of international caps on his shelf, which I thought...
Do you think he wears a different one every day?
Possibly.
I just translated sit down and cheer. It's called Sientate y Anima.
Maybe he's got the Spanish language version.
I didn't recognise that.
I do like the idea of Don going up the post office, though, in the kind of Slovenia one from 1989 or something. Yeah. Or 1999.
I do like the idea that, you know, the same sort of muscular, unashamed, direct style he had as a West Ham legend in the midfield and Everton as well. The same unabashed style, he keeps it even while he's on the TV. Not everybody would have the cojones to have all their caps
just piled up on top of each other.
On top of each other, they were on top of each other like that.
Great very, big very stack impressed. Of them.
The only thing, and of course they were discussing the fantastic victory in Zagreb last night.
Yeah.
And Don's view was that when you come with that, when you start on that conversation about possible potential £100 million players, as in Erling Haaland, Jude Bellingham, he says you've got to include Declan Rice in that £100 million pound conversation. Absolutely, totally right. But I did take to task what he said. There's nothing to stop Declan playing for one of the very top teams in the world.
Wow.
He's already captain of West Ham.
You
know he's going next summer.
Of course you do. Of course
absolutely.
You do.
Probably City, but both City, United, Chelsea want him.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that. Anyway, another programme I watched, this is on this week, on Netflix was, you know, we're all tennis fans now, aren't we, Andy?
Yes.
We're all huge.
Even me.
Yes, we're all huge tennis fans. This was a sort of indication. The program's called Untold. It's a series on Netflix. This was called Breaking Point, and it was about Mardy Fish, the American tennis player, who sort of came up...
I saw your notes. I thought it was about a case of food poisoning.
Mardy Fish, yes, does sound like it could be.
Case of food poisoning.
Excellent. It's a shame he's not playing anymore.
I'm not a because tennis fan. I thought Mardy Fish was a case of food, but you can open that one, eh? Fantastic.
That's a classic.
Doing his act.
So anyway, Mardy Fish, who was, that's his name.
Coming up, Anita Harris, will we?
Yeah. It was basically a programme about mental health. Don't want to bring it down in any way.
We've completely misjudged this part of the conversation.
The reason it's called Breaking Point is that he got to the, in the 2012 US Open, he got to the fourth round of that, and he was due to play... he was used to play Roger Federer, and he had a total breakdown in the back, especially in the back of the cab going to, going to Flushing Meadows, and he had a complete breakdown, and for a couple of years never played tennis, and couldn't get out of bed.
God, you know,
it was an amazing story. It's almost the same as Brian Wilson. You probably of the Beach Boys.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't need to explain to you that Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys people.
Of the beach? Who are the Beach Boys?
Rugby league player, Brian Wilson.
He just sounds like a band.
But it was interesting because, it was so intense. It starts off with him as a youngster. So this is Mardy Fish at some sort of training camp. Mm. And these kids, they're like sort of eight-year-old kids. No whine. This is the instructions they're given. No whining. No complaining. You're at the point now. There's no escape route. So you're saying to kids, that's
right.
It. No escape route.
Yeah.
Which, you know, when these problems sort of piled up on him later in his life, you can imagine how influential that was.
It's very different now. You know, you saw with Naomi Osaka, you know that Raducanu is going to get good advice and good help. Yeah.
The other thing, though, when we spoke to Sean Ingle the other day from The Guardian, he wrote a piece about the fact that she wasn't hothoused, and she hasn't been Emma Raducanu. Mm. She likes motorsport. She tried lots of different sports and things, and she did like ballet and tap, and she wasn't in that tennis hothouse situation, and nor was Federer. So there's a lot to be said for them kind of finding their way to the sport that they excel at.
Yeah, I think that's the conventional wisdom This sort of underlines that as well. What it was is the US Tennis Association, after the McEnroe-Connors era, where, you know, America sort of ruled the world and certainly, you know, were competing right at the top of the men's singles Grand Slams, after that, there was a sort of fall off in American tennis, and American tennis has got a very barren era. And they identified and hothoused Andy Roddick, who was the American number one, and Marty Fish, who eventually sort of overtook him. But so much so that they lived together. This is as kids, sort of, they took Marty Fish away from his parents. And he lived with Andy Roddick's parents for a while. You know, they all get on very well now. There was no, you know, but it sort of intensified the rivalry between the two players. And of course, a totally unnatural way to live.
It sounds very interesting.
That sounds interesting.
It is interesting. I presume there's others of them because it's called Untold,
and it's on Netflix.
That's on Netflix. It's there.
Are they like full length? Are they sort of half hours? Hours? They full length?
About an hour long, I think. Okay. They've got it was about an hour long, and I think there are some others. Because it's called Breaking Point, it will be about athletes who reach that sort of point and return.
Oh, it sounds very interesting.
It is interesting.
You watched part two of the BBC documentary Fever Pitch about the birth of the Premier League.
Indeed. I mean, it's quite fun, but it's not. Actually, I thought, because it's being done in conjunction with the Open University, I thought it would actually tell you something about
it. A bit more scholarly, did you?
Yeah, I did. I mean, it's always fun to watch. Good to see David Meller again in one of the clips. You know, I always remember him with his red hot song. A chat years ago.
Yeah.
No idea what he's doing nowadays, but he didn't figure in the cabinet reshuffle this week. But so
that would have been out of left field. Yeah,
it would indeed. Yeah. Right, but I wondered that they had an interview on it with Richard Shaw, who was the guy with whom Cantona tangled.
Yeah, the old Palace defender.
In that Palace match. And he was describing what happened between him and Cantona before the famous incident. And he said it was handbags at 50 paces. I don't know why it's always 50 paces, but it is. He says it was handbags. And I just wondered, there was no warning at the start of this documentary that it might include terms that are not in current use these days.
Right.
But, you know, I try and keep up with all this stuff.
Yeah.
And I wondered whether handbags were still allowed.
Yeah, well, they don't like it used in certain contexts, do they? But, I mean, you've got to watch that and view it. Yeah. It's of the time. The Premier League have always been really reticent to release that clip. Whenever they talk about the Cantona moment, you see a still of it. You don't see the clip. So I've not watched this second part yet. So did they show you the clip?
No, still.
You think, look, it was okay. It didn't show the
Premier League. We all know what happened.
We could have a flick book of various stills. There's that many stills taken of it. But it kind of seems odd that in the definitive documentary about that moment, they don't show the clip again. Like, that's going to encourage another player to do it.
It happened to, do we, much, really? I mean, he was quite notorious at the time.
No, he's a bit of a character.
Yes. I think we'll leave that there.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
You come up with some TV formats for Edwin Wrists, including Broken Wrist. We follow Edwin as he competes in three Ironman triathlons in one day, says Leighton in West London.
That's good.
It's not a bad one. Wrist or Reward, a game show where a contestant gets through to the final round. If they win, they get a lovely reward. Yeah, not sure about that, Rob. I'm not sure what the commissioning editors might say, but if it was Ant and Dec's Wrist and Reward, we'll buy six off you. So thanks for all of those this afternoon.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Yes, Strictly returns this weekend. It's probably the big non-sporting TV event of the weekend. Mm. If you're a fan, I'm sure you're aware of that anyway.
Oh, yes.
Here to talk about that and a whole lot more besides is our old friend, Star TV columnist, Brighton and Hove Albion supporter, Mike Ward. Good afternoon, Mike.
Good afternoon, guys.
So, Brighton so far, should we kick off with a bit of football here?
Yeah.
About this game? Well, do we like Graham Potter's beard? We think it's made all the difference?
I think it's made all the difference. Do not ever shave, Graham.
He can't, can he?
No, can't do that because, well, we all know the story, so don't do that.
Some lovely photos from you on your holidays.
Thank you.
You do like a filter, though, don't you?
I do like a filter. Well, I figure with a filter, let's just go crazy because everybody messes with filters. So just make it really, really obviously mad.
Do you hashtag them filter? Hashtag filter. Yeah, just something you really boast about, is it?
I think I put flirter by mistake, so that's attracted all the wrong kind of people. But they.
Well, that's it. Only a, that could sound very wrong in the hands of Mark Lawrenson, couldn't it? Celebrity MasterChef, yes. The final. Should we guess that's the scene?
Well, yeah, because you say Dion Dublin went home last night. It was great loss. They all do. I'm beginning to get very suspicious about how good these people get very, very quickly. There's a lot of coaching that goes on between rounds. Because they start off, they just serve up slop. Yeah. And then, within 5 days, they're creating sort of Michelin-starred masterpieces. And you think, what's happened in between? Because I wasn't aware there was a lot of, backstage coaching. Anyway, there you go. So you've got Megan Watson-Aime, you've got Joe Swash, and you've got Katina Cox. And they're all looking brilliant. I've no idea who wins because I don't like to spoil it for myself.
Joe Swash, he always sort of steps up. He does these things. And, they probably book him because they think he'll be a bit of a laugh. But he tends to do well in these celebrity shows, doesn't he?
He does. I've really warmed to him in this. He does turn up an awful lot of stuff, but he's brilliantly self-deprecating. He pitches it just right. He's competitive, but he also has a laugh and he doesn't mind sort of poking fun at some of the others as well.
For fans of the old grey whistle test, listen of a certain age, the music show from back in the 70s and 80s, there's a special night on BBC Four.
Special night, yeah. The old grey whistle test story at 9 o'clock, BBC Four, which is only 40 minutes long. Seems a bit disappointing. I thought they could have done a bit longer than that. Looking back at the whole history of the show, which ran throughout most of the 70s and the 80s on BBC Two. The sort of grown-up alternative to Top of the Pops. Everybody in my head, but I think old grey whistle test, everybody looked like, ZZ Top or the Grateful Dead.
It's a lot of beards,
Although they did have the punk stuff coming on, obviously, later on.
Bob Harris, too.
Bob Harris, Whispering Bob Harris. Yeah. He's, after that, they're rerunning the thing they did in 2018, which was the 3-hour special to mark the 30th anniversary of the very last show. And he hosts that, and you've got people on that like Danny Baker and Chris Difford. Ian Anderson from Jethro Tull. Jethro Tull, that's another whistle test kind of thing. Then, of course, they dropped the old grey towards the end, didn't they?
They did, just called it whistle test.
But that was strange.
So that's BBC Four. 8 o'clock, Channel 5. The Cotswolds with Pam Ears.
Yes.
Right.
What?
Yeah.
What? Did you have you read my little thing that I've written underneath my notes?
Yeah, would you want to perform it as Pam Ears?
The veteran poet's brand new show. I think I might give this a go. Will I be glad? Will I be sorry? I wish it didn't clash with Corey.
That's good in the style of Pam.
That's very nice.
Tremendous. I couldn't do the accent, but apart from that.
Yeah, well, it's not difficult. Put you back into it. So, that's 8 o'clock, Channel 5. Tomorrow night, 7:45, as we said, Strictly. There's some sporting interest, isn't there?
Yeah, Adam Peaty, fifth favourite.
Hugo Monya's in there.
Yeah, quite a lot of Tom Fletcher from McFly. That's not technically sporting, but I'm sure he's a sporting chap. Robert Webb, of course, is a good... Didn't he do... what's that comic relief thing? Didn't he do well on that a few years ago? I lose track of these things.
He'll take it...
Television just blurs
after Bill
into
Bailey,
one.
He will take it seriously, definitely.
Yes. After Bill Bailey, it'll be Christopher Martin Jenkins.
Very,
are you
very,
do that
very
for
good.
So, yeah, this is not the first competitive round. This is where we get to see them paired up with their professional partners.
It's Tom Fletcher's the favourite, from McFly.
Tom Fletcher's the favourite last time I checked. I mean, they sort of, hop around a bit, obviously. Not, I mean, obviously that's what they do on the programme, but I mean, in terms of the position in the betting,
Well, there we are, Strictly 7:45.
It'd be great if Tilly Ramsey starts swearing judges if she gets voted out.
That would be great, yeah.
Paul Ramsey. Paul O'Grady's Saturday Night Lineup, another big sort of variety show.
This started last week, and it's a sort of it's a strange thing because basically it's a very old-fashioned idea, which is that thing where you a group of people are asked to get together and between themselves decide which of them might be the cleverest or the fastest runner or whatever. But these are all based on what members of the public have said about the various competitors, various guests competing. So in other words, this week David Hay, Aston Merigold, Johnny Vegas, and Imelda Holden must between them decide what the members public thought. Explain this really badly. Do you care?
I think Hay will beat Holden.
You have to stand in a line and decide between themselves how they think the members of the public vote. Oh God!
You didn't write the format, did you?
No,
I'm surprised you got
imagine
it away.
Pitching this, I can just imagine people just looking at their watches and staring out the window.
Yeah,
and basically it's pretty average. But Paul O'Grady's a good, he's good at just getting people to chat. So it's a chat show with something to sort of stitch it together for no great reason.
So that's Saturday 9:35 ITV. Mortimer and Whitehouse gone fishing. flourishing continues.
Loving it.
I just love it. Yeah, I just put it in there because I just love it. It's one of those programs that you just don't want each episode to end. Most programs kind of outstay their welcome, such as Britain's Favourite Sandwich, which is also on Sunday.
Well,
it's going
to
be
we'll
90
come on
minutes
to that
long.
In a minute.
But yes, yeah. But this one, yeah, they're in Norfolk this week searching for Amber Rudd.
Oh, before. Last week in the Lake District.
Searching for Amber Rudd.
Yeah, the former Secretary of State. It says searching for Rudd.
Yes, so. Of course.
Did I do a joke like that about 2 years ago about a different politician?
We're recycling all the time.
I just thought you would remember.
So that's 8 o'clock BBC Two. It's been a very good series, so we do recommend that. And as you say, 6:30 Channel 5.
Yeah.
I mean, Britain's Favourite Sandwich.
Yeah.
With Toya.
Yeah.
I hope her favourite isn't smoked salmon.
Oh, that's Andy.
Sorry.
Oh, for goodness' sake.
Yes. So we've
I'm not telling you the winner, by the way.
No, don't.
Because that would imply that I actually bothered to sit through 90 minutes of, which I haven't. Dipped in.
That's the last thing you want to do. But I do wonder if John Logie Baird, is this what he had in mind?
Yes.
Do you know, when he was, or if he's a bit like, if he ever came back, which is unlikely, he invented a time machine.
Yeah.
It'd be like Charlton Heston, wouldn't it, at the end of Planet of the Apes saying, "You finally did it, you maniacs. You made Britain's Favourite Sandwich with Toya and Pat Sharp and Natalie Anderson off of Emmerdale." How long's it on for? Is it like 2 hours?
It's 90 minutes.
Oh, wow.
It is 90 minutes.
Is it just,
may go
just
into
cut
stoppage
from
time.
Celebrities? Like, is it Toy just saying cheese and tomato?
Pretty much, yeah, yeah. There's other people, those aren't there. But it's pretty much, and yeah, that's her first appearance. She pops up, as I said, I don't know how many times she pops up, because once was enough for all these people just to get a feel for it. And she just says, yeah.
I mean, a bit of history of the sandwich might be quite
interesting. History of the sandwich, yeah, 10 minutes maybe.
Are you interested in the history of the sandwich?
I'm a big mate of the Earl of Sandwich myself.
You're going to be watching this?
No.
They cut to Pat Sharp and he says,
I'd say
fish
safely,
paste.
Safely not, especially if Chelsea have lost to Spurs. I won't console myself with a bit
of
Britain's favourite sandwich.
Yeah.
I'll be telling
what,
is, over.
What would it be, though? I mean, I don't know the answer. What would it be?
Well, Britain's favourite sandwich.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean,
you've
put me on the spot.
Cheese
now,
and pickle, isn't it?
Sorry. Sorry.
Cheese and pickle?
It could be.
So. Oh, 8-7. No, don't bother.
Somebody's going to go crisp, aren't they? Somebody's going to go crisp sandwich just to be difficult.
Yeah, somebody will do that, yeah. So, just finally, Mike, next week, a couple of things are happening. You're very excited by the return of Nevermind the Buzzcocks to Sky and indeed the Great British Bake Off.
They sent me a T-shirt. I just arrived the post a couple of hours ago and I opened it up and thought, that's the most optimistically sized T-shirt I've ever been sent. And they said, I think they want me to put it on and pose for it on Twitter or something. There's absolutely no way on earth I'd even get it on, let alone pose for it. So, but, thanks, guys. So Nevermind the Buzzcocks is back and it's on Sky Max and it's Greg Davis, who suddenly everywhere presenting it, which is great. Ooh. Noel Fielding's on it and on Bake Off, of course, which is back that same night.
Do you like his new one, The Cleaner? I thought it was rather good.
It's all right, actually. I'm sort of warming to it. I wasn't entirely sure at first, and I don't know how long whether it might run out of steam towards the end, but I love Greg Davis.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. We'll do it all again on Monday, reflecting on the weekend's football, the phony war between me and Andy, of course. It'll be nice to me because Chelsea will almost certainly win.
And vice versa.
So we'll be doing all that on Monday. Do hope you can join us. If not, the podcast, as always, will be available at around 4:30. Have a good weekend.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.